Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Patisasapupada, dependent origination. Along the journey to Nibbana, there are eight places or conditions that we should not take detour. These conditions are not desirable for rebirth, as they have no means to escape from suffering, dukkha. These eight places or eight conditions are: one is Brahmaram of material, non-material, and material only, except four realms where only the Anagami and Arhat dwells. Except those four, the remaining 16 realms are not desirable for rebirth. Two, hell realm, constant state of suffering, no time for practice. Three, animal realm, most of the times are engaged in procreation and searching for food, struggling for existence. Four, hungry ghost realm, always in a state of lack. There's no time for anything else except trying and coping with the state of lack. Five, human with the wrong view. Six, born as human in places where Buddha Dhamma cannot reach. Seven, human who are deaf and dumb to understand Buddha Dhamma. Eight, the worlds with periods where there is no Buddha and no Buddha Sasana. Those are the eight places not desirable for rebirth for Buddhists. But there's one desirable place for rebirth. One desirable place or a set of conditions. Place where there is Buddha Sasana, which is right now we have Buddha Sasana. Not only to be born in a place where there is Buddha Sasana, the conditions we need, especially for practicing Buddhists, is meeting with the right teacher, competent teacher, to guide you straight and narrow. Also, enough intelligence, having enough intelligence to understand the Buddha Dhamma. And of course, even if you have there, if you don't have a strong desire, it's useless. One must have a strong desire to practice. These are the set of conditions that one needs or desirable for a rebirth. And if you have these conditions, you can say you have enough parami, enough perfections, enough background of wisdom or intelligence to attain path wisdom Magañana, part wisdom, in this very life. If you have these conditions, you can attain part wisdom in this very life, meaning you can become Sotapanna. Of course, there's one more. One must apply great effort and practice with commitment. Without that, all the other conditions are wasted. All of you, the practitioners, the listeners, especially the practitioners, have this opportunity, or we can call it opportune condition. You have this opportune condition right now because you have enough intelligence to understand and you have a desire to practice. You have a right teacher, teachers who you have confidence, and of course the basis Buddha Sasanas here. You all have this opportunity right now. Practice now to know the arising and passing away of mind and matter. Practice now to know there's no such thing as a person, an individual, or a self, or a being. These are the fundamentally important on our way to Nibbana. In other words, they are the major roadblocks if you don't have it. Practice now, because you can die tomorrow. And all of us, what we have is now, the present moment. Because we are, all of us are walking on the path of five aggregates. We are all on the path or on the road of five aggregates. What does that mean? Five aggregates always end up with old age, sickness, and death. Attachment to families, friends, and fortune will put you on the path of old age and death. Will put you on the unending path of aggregates. That's a wrong view. Unending path of the five aggregates never end. If it is that, that means you are on the wrong view, wrong path. Rely on yourself and practice at least to become the first stream winner, Sotapanna, in this very existent. You have all the conditions. All you need is great effort and commitment, and you can become the first stream winner in this very life. You know, all the Buddhists say, I want Nibbana, I want to attain Nibbana, I want to achieve Nibbana. We all say it very easily. Is it really true? Do you really want to attain Nibbana? Or is it just simply a talk? Because traditionally that's what people say. Traditionally what the Buddhists say. you really want it, or simply a talk. Only those who have a deep intellectual understanding, that's the first step, deep intellectual understanding of the right view, may truly want Nibbana. I even put the word may. Truly wants Nibbana, or you may want the right view. If one doesn't have commitment to the practice, you can't say you want Nibbana yet. Only when arising and dissolution of mind and body is experienced, one can say with certainty that this path is built on the right view. You have confidence now. You are certain now. This path we are working on, this practice, is built on the right view. But you must experience the arising and dissolution of mind and matter up to the skillful level. Only then the so-called self or I began to dissolve. One who has right view is the one who really wants Nibbana. Till you have the right view, you can say 1,000 times, I want to attain Nibbana. You don't really mean it, you don't really want it. And here I'd like to present you a little story. Let's call it a dialogue between a Brahmin called Akivutsa and the Buddha. Dialogue between that Brahmin and the Buddha. Brahmins are very intelligent. Class of people in India who believes and practice Hinduism. And it exists even before Buddha come to be. So they are the key challenger of the Buddha. So there's a dialogue. These dialogues are very precise. Very precise dialogues. But I don't believe I have the capacity to translate with precision into English. My language skill is not that good. So bear that in mind and try and get the essence of this dialogue. I'll try my best, but I don't think it will do justice to the original dialogue. The Brahmin asks, are consciousness and body, okay, the word is in English, consciousness and body, meaning nama and rupa, mind and matter, meaning a person, an individual, a being. So when you hear the word consciousness and body, nama rupa, a person, a being. Keep that in mind. Are consciousness and body permanent? The question. Buddha answer, this is a wrong view. Next question. Are consciousness and body impermanent? The answer was, This is a wrong view. Are consciousness and body finite? The answer, this is a wrong view. Are consciousness and body infinite? The answer, it is a wrong view. Are consciousness and matter one and the same or separate? Two questions I'm putting into one now. This is the wrong view. Is there life after death? Or is there no life after death? This is the wrong view. Are consciousness and body becoming or not becoming after death? The Buddha's answer, this is a wrong view. It means consciousness and body. Is it neither becoming or not becoming after death? The answer, this is a wrong view. So from every angle with precision, the Brahmin asks, the Buddha answer is one and the same. This is a wrong view. Then the Brahmin changes style of questioning. Then please tell me what your right view is. The Buddha said, since enlightenment, I have abandoned the wrong view of consciousness and body, nama rupa. Only if one abandons the wrong view, one can attain Nibbana. Without abandoning wrong view, you can never achieve or attain Nibbana. Abandoning wrong view is the first step, samadhi, the right view, micchadhiti, wrong view. Once one attains the first path consciousness, okay, megajeta, in other words, one becomes a sotapanna, sotapati, megajeta, path consciousness. Only then wrong view is abandoned. You abandon the wrong view when you become sotapanna, completely, entirely, and thoroughly. And the Buddha keep on saying, there exists materiality or matter, but it is always arising and passing away. There exists feeling. It does exist. Feeling, vedana, but it's always arising and passing away. There exists perception, sanya, but it is always arising and passing away. There exists mental formation, sankhara, and it is always arising and passing away. There exists consciousness, vijnana, but it is always arising and passing away. What are these? Materiality, feeling, perception, mental formation, and consciousness. There are five aggregates. So the Buddha said, the five aggregates do exist. But these are always arising and passing away. They exist. Didn't say it doesn't exist. But one thing is they are always constantly arising and passing away. So, if that is true, you can say only arising and passing away, only arising and passing away of the five aggregates exists. There is no such thing as a being, a person, an individual, a self. Only the arising and passing away exists of the five aggregates. The Brahman is not satisfied now after he heard what Buddha said. So he asks, change his technique. Your right view is that there exists only arising and passing away of the five aggregates. Okay. So, what's the use of it? What's the benefit of it? Buddha answer, the benefit is cessation of craving, conceit and wrong view. Cessation of craving, dana, conceit, mana, wrong view, deity. Dana, mana, deity, cease to exist. That's a benefit. If you truly know five aggregates are simply arising and passing away. Not only that, cessations of tanha, mana, deity that leads to the cessation of grasping. No more grasping to anything in this world anymore. Cessation of grasping. And that cessation of grasping is Nibbana. So Buddha stopped at grasping. Of course, we all know if you don't stop grasping, there's no life action, sankhara, no life action, there's no rebirth, jati. If there's no rebirth, there's no old age, jara, death, marana. But the Buddha said, stop right there at grasping. That's a benefit. You have abandoned craving, conceit, and wrong view, and no more grasping. And he just simply said, the Buddha said, that is Nibbana. And Brahman, he just doesn't give up. He keep on asking. Okay. One who has abandoned. One who has abandoned grasping. Where did he go? Or what did he become? The next question is. One who has abandoned grasping. The Buddha said grasping. No more grasping. Nibbana. He said, okay. One who has no more grasping, where did he go? Or what did he become? That's a question. Because the Brahman is still asking the question with the premise of a self. Or a soul, or a being, or a person, still with the view of identity, a self, a being. That's why he asks, once there is no more grasping, where did that person go or what become? The question is, he is still stuck on the concept of a self, on the concept of a being. So the question was, what did he become? Where does he go? And the Buddha said, I don't say in this way that becoming arises. I will never answer, I won't answer in a way that becoming arises. The Brahman said, then doesn't become. The Buddha said, I don't answer in the way that it doesn't become. The Brahman said, well, if that's the case, it might be becoming and not becoming. The Buddha said, I don't answer that it becomes or not becomes. The Brahman, well, if that's the case, that person neither become or not become. The Buddha said, I don't answer in that way that it neither becomes or not become. Those are the answer. And the Brahman said, I concur with you up to the arising and passing away of the five aggregates. I agree with you up to the point of the arising and passing away the five aggregates. But after that, I'm lost, I'm confused. Just a gentle way of answering, I don't agree with you, I can't accept your view. I'm confused. That's a Brahman answer. And it is one who has not abandoned the wrong view of a being or a self will never be happy with Nibbana or will never want Nibbana. One who has not abandoned the wrong view will never want Nibbana, will never be happy with Nibbana. Because Nibbana is the extinction of mind and matter, nama rupa, body and consciousness. But if you haven't abandoned this body and mind, you will never be happy or want Nibbana. One who does not understand dependent origination is the cyclical process of arising and passing away of mind and matter will never want Nibbana. If you don't understand dependent origination, because that explains the process of mind and matter, how they are forming one after the other through cause and effect, in a cyclical order, round and round and round and round. Wuddha. Kilesa wuddha. Rounds of kilesa lead to karma wuddha. Rounds of karma that leads to vipaka wuddha. Rounds of resultant. And then they go back round and round. You will be still spinning around in there. But if you understand it, then you would want Nibbana. If you don't understand that process, you will never want Nibbana. So, that's a dialogue between the Brahman and the Buddha about a being, a person, the concept of a being, a person. It's totally day and night. The other takes us a being, a person, as permanent. And the Buddha shows that it is not permanent, it is impermanent. Simply a series of events through cause and effect. A process that is spinning round and round. If you look at it, we are now in the presence of a great opportunity, or we can say we are in a presence of the opportune condition where we can eliminate this wrong view, Mechadeti, and become totally liberated from the belief of self, a being. And finally attain Nibbana, the end of all form of suffering. We are right here, right now. We have everything at our disposal. All that we need is great effort and practice with commitment. So let us don't waste a moment and strive our best so that we can attain Nibbana, the end of all form of physical and mental suffering, as soon as possible. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you very much.